Hallelujah. Acts, the third chapter.
Action.
Acts, the third chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel something happening in this atmosphere. I said I feel something happening in this atmosphere. Acts, the third chapter. Y'all give me just a little bit more volume, just a little bit. I appreciate it. Acts, the third chapter. I have to read this for the sake of context today. But I promise to put it all together for you. According to the word of the Lord. The Bible says, now Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, meaning it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for some money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. The Bible says in verse 5, and he gave heed unto them. He looked to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked. And entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. I want to preach to you this morning from the subject that the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder, separate soul from spirit, and discern the intentions of our heart. Father, my prayer is that you speak a word to us that changes everything this morning, that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, that it transforms us by the renewing of our mind. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word, and on our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing today is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do. For this is your house and we are your people. And we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, you agree? Say amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with. Or whatever you lost, smile anyway. and say, I expect a miracle. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach to you this morning from the subject, the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. The Word of God tells us that Peter and John are going to their customary time of prayer. There were three times in a day, according to Jewish custom, that one would pray at 9, at 12, and of course at 3 p.m. And so it was the 3 o'clock hour of prayer, and this individual who they were accustomed to seeing was at the gate beautiful, which everyone was accustomed to seeing because this was his habit as well. The Bible makes it clear and present that this individual had this situation ever since he was born. It was from his mother's womb. And the Bible says he was carried there and then laid at the gate. Then there was something daily that would take place, and he would beg for alms and for money for people to help him out. But this particular day, at this particular moment, his life was about to be changed forever. Look at your neighbor and say, this is the day. This is the day. There is a scripture in your Bible that you probably have never seen. As I preach the Word of God, sometimes I'm often reminded of how vast the Word of God is. And the reason why I say you've never seen it is not because of your oversight, and it's not because you probably haven't read it. It's because it's one of those scriptures that can be easily overlooked, because it doesn't include your blessing or your miracle or your thing or your that. But what it does include is an epitaph of someone who lived but missed a moment. In other words, it's recorded in Jeremiah, the 46th chapter, in verse 17. And what it says is simply this. It says, and I'm going to read it from the New English Bible so that you can understand what it's saying. It says, give Pharaoh of Egypt the title King of Bombast, the man who missed his moment. In other words, it's recording, if you will, and highlighting a chronicle, if you will, of individuals who have done a thing. And the chronicle of this king of Egypt, or this pharaoh of Egypt, is that he missed his moment. The person that the Bible is talking about, if you do a little history and a little research, is Pharaoh Hofra. He was the fourth king of the 26th dynasty of Egypt. He was the political and religious leader of the most advanced civilization on earth. And this particular pharaoh had a whole lot of potential and a whole lot of power. But history, if you will, records his life as a man who missed his moment, even though history was his for the taking and for the making. But he missed his opportunity. The Bible does not describe the opportunity. It does not identify it, but it lets us know that he ruled for 19 years, and in 19 years, there was one moment, one opportunity that he could have took that God gave him, and he missed that opportunity. Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. I'm going somewhere with this thing. When you have experienced something for a very long time, your level of expectation doesn't decline. It simply goes negative. You expect something to happen, but what you expect to happen is not the positive or not the miracle. And so when you expect something negative to take place, then you allow yourself to miss God-given opportunities that could change your trajectory forever. Go on, touch your neighbor one more time and say, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. I'm going to preach it how I feel it this morning. I feel an old school bishop-like preach coming on me right now. And so you have to understand that if you have this sort of mentality, then you're going to live your life in sort of a regretful state. And you're going to find yourself at the end of your life regretting, if you will, not the things that you did, but the things that you missed out on that you wish you had did. In other words, your greatest regret will be the things you didn't do, but the things you you wish you had done. You're not going to get to the end of your life and say, I should not have done that. But rather, you're going to get to the end of your life and say, I wish I would have took that opportunity to do thus and so. Now, they just recently did a survey of about 400 people who were in their twilight years. In other words, their hair went from black to gray to white. You hear what I'm saying? And so most of these people were in their 90s and almost 100 years old, 400. And they asked them, what is your greatest regret? Not one individual in the bunch said, I wish I had not done this. What they all said in consensus is that my greatest regret are the opportunities that I wish I would have took advantage of, but I was too afraid. I was too broken. I wish I had somebody in here. I was too immature to see it as an opportunity. Look at your neighbor and say, don't miss your moment. Come on here. Maybe it is a fear issue with you. I feel like preaching to somebody in here. And maybe, folks, before we get you to your moment, we have to break you out of the mindset of that fear. Look at your neighbor and say, don't you be afraid. I wish I had somebody in here to help me out. You have to understand the reason why fear is so powerful over your life is because it'll keep you in a place of spiritual capacity where you'll live your spiritual life simply not trying to do something wrong. As a matter of fact, most believers live their Christian walk trying not to mess up. Look at your neighbor and say, God ain't afraid of your failure. I wish I had somebody in here to preach to. If God was afraid of your failure, he would have never allowed his son to die for you and I. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't about you, baby. I wish I had somebody. It wasn't your blood that was stained. It wasn't, I wish I had somebody in here. It wasn't you that walked the Via Dolorosa. It wasn't you that had your hand stretched out on the cross. No, it was our Savior who had the power and capacity to take away the sins of the world. Slap your neighbor high five and say, it ain't about you. I wish I had somebody in here. God is not afraid of your failure. As a matter of fact, he's counting on your failure. And the reason why he's counting on it is because he says, when you are weak, then you are strong. He's counting on you to realize you can't make it all by yourself. I wish I had some real folk to talk to in here. He's counting you to come to the realization that if it wasn't for his grace, you don't know where in the world you would end up. I need about 10 sanctified folk in this room who realize the blood of Jesus still has power. I wish I had somebody to talk to in here. Oh God, look at your neighbor and say, the blood still works. I wish I had a church. It still reaches to the highest mountain and it still flows to the... I feel like preaching up in here. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, the blood still works. And if they look at you like you crazy, just look at them again and say, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Oh God, some of you need to understand the power that's in the blood of... Oh God, I feel it in here. The blood still works. Yes, it does. Blood still works. It still works. It still works. The last time I checked, I can get up at any moment and plead the blood of Jesus. Even when I feel like I'm losing my mind, even when I'm at my lowest state, I can still, it never loses its power. I gotta get to where I need to go. And so fear then is pervasive because what fear does, it paralyzes you and it makes you immobile. It gets you to the place where you don't want to move because you're afraid, not that something's gonna happen, but you're gonna mess up. I know I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting in here. And so you live your life caged in this place of fear because you just know that you ain't got it all together. I know you are a good actor because Christians are good actors, but they're not good reactors. Oh, God, that thing will preach twice on Sunday. Y'all ain't say nothing. You act the part, but you don't react like a Christian, because if you reacted like a Christian, I wish I had somebody in here, you wouldn't be as stressed out as you are at this present moment. I am preaching way better than y'all shout. If you reacted like a Christian, you really would bless them at all times. Y'all ain't said, not just when it's going good. Y'all ain't said nothing, but when it's going bad. Y'all ain't said nothing in here. Look at your name and say, react like a Christian. Don't act like a Christian. I wish I had somebody in here. If you reacted like a Christian, you would know that your faith is working something on the inside of you. It's working patience, and patience is having a perfect work so that you might be entire, whole, and wanting nothing. Oh, y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. If you act like a Christian, you would actually forgive those that despitefully use you. You ain't nobody helping the preacher preach this morning. Slap your name and say, "Lack, uh-huh," and react like one. Don't act like one. Don't act like one. Y'all sit down. Let me preach this thing. It keeps you in this place of acting but not reacting. Oh, God. Righteousness is more than doing nothing wrong. It's also doing something right. It's not just resisting temptation, but it's going after God-ordained opportunities. And what fear wants to do is to keep you in the place of letting you know you ain't got it all together. So it keeps you paralyzed by trying to resist the thing that God said you're already free from. God, I'm preaching to somebody up in here. I'm not trying to marginalize your struggle, but I'm trying to tell you your struggle has gotten victory through Jesus Christ. If you keep thinking it's going to be you that's going to get it done, I'm preaching, then you're going to stay in the cage of fear. You got to step out on faith and believe what he said about you in his word. Slap your name and say, "I ain't what I used to be." Come on here. "But I'm not what I'm about to be yet. But God ain't finished with this individual." Oh, who am I preaching to up in here? Slap your neighbor high five and say, "He ain't done with me, baby." You might be done. Society might be done. My family might be done. But God has not thrown in the towel on my destiny yet. God, I'm going to get this thing out my spirit. Fear allows you to live a life of regret. You don't hear what I'm saying. Regret is so dangerous because regret, Lord have mercy, plays over in your mind over and over and over and over again what you missed, but never informs you of what's waiting for you. It only tells you what you miss. And so you walk around every day going, "I should've, I could've, if I would've." Oh, look at your neighbor and say, "He ain't talking to me, he talking right to you. He talking right to you." Regret. It's dangerous. There was a scientific study. Y'all know how much I love science. There was a scientific study that was done. And it said this, according to their research. I won't give you the name of the psychologist. They're social psychologists. And according to their research, they had some key factors in what we regret. In the short term, we tend to regret actions more than inaction. In other words, we feel acute regret over the mistakes we've made. But in the long term, we regret inaction more than actions. That's why when you get to a more seasoned saint, y'all ain't said nothing. They tell you, as they did in the research, I wish I would have took the opportunity when it came in front of me. They're not talking about what happened yesterday because they know that they have way more yesterdays than they do tomorrows. God, I'm preaching better than y'all show. So their focus is on tomorrow because they ain't got a lot of them. Y'all ain't said nothing, but they had a whole lot of yesterdays. You have inversed that already in your 30s and 40s. I'm preaching better than y'all show. You feel like you don't have no tomorrows, and so all you cling on to is yesterday. Slap your name and say, I got to get rid of yesterday. I wish I had somebody in here. That's why you stay in a place of fear. That's why you stay in that cage of assumption, because you think things are going to turn out negatively tomorrow. Look at your neighbor and say, you got more tomorrows than you do yesterdays. I wish I had somebody. Because in Christ, you are a new... Oh, y'all ain't hear what I... You didn't hear what I just said. If you are in Christ, you got more tomorrows than you do yesterdays. You might have messed up yesterday, but anybody that's in Christ is a new creation. Old things... All things... Oh, y'all shout broke. Y'all hallelujah broke. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm going to beat yesterday today. Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. I'm not going to be caged in what happened 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago. I'm about to be set free from a mindset of my past right here. And I wish I had somebody here. And right now, slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm beating yesterday. I'm beating yesterday. Yes, sir.
You are so focused on yesterday that you don't realize that today is here. See, this is why God did it the way he did it, by taking us outside of past, y'all ain't said nothing, and taking us into eternity in Christ, for we are seated with him in heavenly places. And so in God's vantage point of our lives, he doesn't look at our yesterday, but he always looks at our tomorrow. And this is why the enemy constantly reminds you of yesterday, because he knows that you have a hope and you have a future. I am preaching to somebody up in here, and if you ever figure out what your future is really like, you won't be concerned about no yesterday, but you'll be blessing God today, because you don't know which day he's gonna show up and change your future. I wish I had 10 folk in here that knew how to bless the Lord today. Oh God, slap somebody a high five and say, no, this is the day, baby. I feel God in here. I said I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Look at the neighbor on the other side that you ain't slap a high five to and say, today is the day. Today is the day. Oh, God, I feel something is breaking up in here, and deep down in your spirit and deep down in your psyche. Y'all sit down, let me finish this thing. And so, if the enemy continues to work on your mind, because that's what he does, and he works on your mind to rehearse yesterday. And so what begins to happen is that what happened yesterday starts to enter into the imagination that you have for tomorrow. And so instead of having a godly imagination, you begin to imagine vain things. You begin to imagine stuff that ain't happened yet in the negative, instead of believing God and getting a vision for what could possibly happen down the road. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. And so you become a worrywart. I'm preaching to somebody up in here, and I'm breaking the spirit of worry and fear at the same time. You wake up worried. You wake up depressed. Oh my God, it ain't the coffee that you need. It's a new spirit on the inside of you and a new perception of who your God really is. Oh! Y'all just bear with me for just a second. And so now what you have to discover and what you have to understand is that God wants you to be going after something, not simply sitting there trying not to mess up. Not only that, he doesn't want you living in the mindset of yesterday. He has to get you to understand that you have a hope and you have a future. Can you go ahead and say that with me? I got a hope and I got a future. What if you were just one decision away from the future you were looking forward to? What if, my God, you had no regrets? My God, what if you looked at your life and said, I might have messed up in some areas, but God ain't finished with this individual yet. My God, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Slap your name and say, why can I say that? Come on here. Why can I say that? Because not yet, son. Because I got a promise. Now slap your name and say, because I got a promise. Come on here. I got a promise. This brings us back to the text. The Bible says that it was customary for Peter and John to go to the temple at the hour of prayer. And it was also customary that the certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried, if you will, and laid daily in front of the beautiful gate. Slap your name and say, who was his people? So I wish I had somebody. Because you would think it's a nice thing for individuals to pick you up and carry you to the place of your yesterday. But you need some individuals. I wish I had somebody that will pick you up and carry you to your tomorrow. You got to realize who your peoples are. If your day is going to shift, you need some new peoples. I'm preaching up in here. Look at your neighbor and say, I need some new folk around me. Don't you carry me to my yesterday. Carry me to my tomorrow. Oh, God, I feel it up in here. People will be comfortable taking you to where you are comfortable. Oh, y'all sit down. Let me preach this thing. His peoples carried him daily. And you are high-fiving your folk like, thank you for keeping me mediocre. Thank you for keeping me bound. Thank you for keeping me average. The same prayer circle. I'm preaching better than y'all are shout. The same sob story circle that you have at the water cooler at your job about how bad things are. Look at your neighbor and say, you need some new people. You need some folk that's going to pick you up and say, today is the day. You will no longer be in this condition ever up again. Oh God, come on, shake your neighbor's hand like you're about to shake it off and say, I'm about to pick you up and take you to a new future, sweetheart. I'm about to pick you up and take your life to a whole different trajectory. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. You need some folk that's going to encourage you and say, you got to get up. You can't stay where you are. You got to move. God, I feel it in here. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. God, I feel it in here. Get up, baby. Get up. You can't sit there. You can't dwell there. You got a better tomorrow than you do yesterday. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Get up, get up, get up. Can I prophesy to somebody's spirit? Get up, get up, get up. God, I feel the anointing in here. Oh, God, y'all got to help me out. Oh, God. You are more than a conqueror. You don't have to sit there at the ordinary place because some folk are taking you to the place of mediocrity. There are some people who got power on the inside of them that says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I can give it unto you. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, are you my peoples? Come on here. Our God, for the Bible says, if any two or three of you would gather together in my name, that the Lord will show up in the midst of you. I need some peoples that know the name of the Lord to shake my hand and say, get up, get up, get up. I feel the Lord in here.
Somebody need to continue to hear that word. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm your people's for the day. I might not have money. I might not have access. I might not have pedigree. But what I got is the power of the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, get up, get up, get up. Oh, God, I wish I had some folk that would begin to call on the name of Jesus and tell every dead thing in your life, get up and walk. Finances, get up and walk. Marriage, get up and walk. Children, get up and walk. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Somebody better prophesy today, tomorrow, and say in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. God, I love you. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. In the name of Jesus, come out of fear. In the name of Jesus, come out of lack. In the name of Jesus, come out of sickness. In the name of Jesus, come out of doubt. In the name of Jesus. Your level of expectation could fall and rise by the people you have in your circle. You see, it's the people that have to remind you that you have a promise. That's why it's important to have the right ones in your circle. Because I'm about to flip your wig. The last time I checked the text, the man didn't say he was believing God. He went to the temple not to see God. He went to see people. Oh, I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. Look at your name and say, God will meet you wherever you are at your level of faith, baby. You want to be all deep and philosophical and theological. This man went to beg money for people, but he found some people who knew the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I feel like preaching in here. Slap your neighbor and say, do you know the name of Jesus? He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the I am that I am. He's the lover of my soul. He's my healer. He's my keeper. Woo! Y'all got to sit me down somewhere. I feel Holy Ghost revival happening right now up in here. Whatever you need from God, you should reach up and grab it, because the power of the living God. Oh! Somebody shout right now. Hallelujah. Somebody getting set free up in here. Ah! I'm done. I'm close. The man wasn't there looking for God. You see, when you start thinking about your today, you don't care where a better tomorrow is coming from. The man wasn't there because he was religious. He was there because people who's supposed to know God were going into the temple. And if I can get help from anybody, it's certainly from the people who's supposed to know God.
Some people not looking for God. I'm not a heretic. I'm right. I'm germane to the text. They're looking for you. Look at y'all like, no. Why are they looking for you? Because God is in you. Stop being all spooky with it. Greater is He that is in you. So this is powerful because he has to believe in what Peter is saying. This ain't Jesus healing nobody. No. Come on now. Come on. Think about it. This ain't Paul. This is Peter. Say Moses, Abraham, Peter. Peter has my promise. What in the world? Peter. Deny Jesus, Peter. Cut your ear off, Peter. Cuss you out. And still love Jesus, Peter. Y'all shouted too loud on that one, y'all. And he's got my promise. Say what? Are you really looking for? That tells me that the man really didn't want no money. He wanted something. And that's why the Bible says he looked up at them expecting something. Something's about to happen. Atmosphere of expectancy is when people come into your problem because they know the name of Jesus. And he say to you, I don't have what you think you want, but what I do have. Obviously, I left so much out of this text, but it got us to where we needed to be. A breeding ground is an agricultural term. A breeding ground is when you create a hotbed. That means you intentionally enclose what you want to produce in a place that is not comfortable. It intensifies and amplifies and accelerates the process. I'm sure the lame man who is not given a name in scripture had some really good friends that thought they were doing a really good thing. Taking him up every day and carrying him to a place where he could be a beggar. But he ran into some people that had promise in them. You need a scripture for that. The Bible says that the entire earth groans in travail for the manifestation of the sons of God. Somebody's waiting for you because you have promise
in you. And the promises of God are yes and amen. And so you have to escape the vestiges of the past. If you don't know what vestiges means, Google it. You have to escape yesterday, because today is the day. The man got up immediately. He was like this from birth. Oh, I heard you, Holy Ghost. God just said there's an immediate miracle about to happen. That thing hit me down in my spirit. Somebody needs an immediate miracle. And it's going to take place today. God, I don't know who that was for, but I'm telling you. Immediately, strength in his ankles. So much so that the man got up. This is how he know he really didn't want money. What he really wanted was to walk. He probably thought about it every day. He probably prayed for it. Oh God, but he didn't have no peoples. Ah. And so the Bible says immediately when he got strength in his ankles, he got up walking, leaping, and praising God. Oh, just one more time. Let me have church for 5 moments. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, get ready, baby, to stand strong in your promise. And you're going to be walking, leaping, and praising God. Oh, God, look at your neighbor one more time and say, neighbor, get ready, baby, to stand strong in your promise. You're going to be walking, leaping, and praising God. If you believe it, take a step of faith and do it. I'm about to walk in it. I'm about to leap in it. Oh, God, I'm walking in it. I'm leaping in it. I'm praising in it. I'm walking in it. I'm leaping in it. You better give God glory in here. Walk in your healing. Leap in your healing. Praise in your healing. Walk in your breakthrough. Leap in your breakthrough. I'm feeling anointing in here. Walk in your financial miracle. Leap in your financial. Praise God in your. Somebody better give God glory all over this shirt. Walk in it, baby. Leap in it. Give God praise for it. Walk in it. Leap in it. Give God praise for it. Yeah! Hallelujah. Grab somebody by the hand all over this shirt. We're about to create a hotbed, a breeding ground. Oh, glory to God. I don't know how long. God, I feel it up in here. You have had to endure. The Bible says the man was from his mother's womb. That's a long time. All his life, 40 years of imagining he could walk, of imagining his life was going to change. That's a long time. But when God shows up in your moment, oh God, things happen immediately. I came to tell somebody, this is your moment. Don't you miss your moment. God is about to do an immediate thing. I don't care how you feel about yourself.
I don't care how many times you've fallen. You're about to get back up in the spirit of the living God. Today is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. On the count of three, I want you to praise God with the person next to you, because the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground for miracles. One, two, three. Give God glory. Give God glory. Give God glory. Give God glory. Come on, praise Him like your life depended on it. Praise Him like your miracle depended on it. Praise Him for the person next to you right now. Give God glory. Somebody praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! God, I hear your Holy Ghost. Miracles, 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 signs and wonders and miracles. God, I wish I had a church in here. Where's your expectation, baby? Tonight, we have set the atmosphere for tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, don't you sit at home, baby. Your miracle is in this room tonight. God, I wish I had 10 folk that don't mind praising God. I know I got to get y'all out of here. But there is a breakthrough in your praise today. I feel it in here. I know if we can take about 60 seconds just to give God glory. I just need about 10 or 20 folk that don't mind giving God glory. You better take your 60 seconds, baby. Yeah. Now tonight. Tonight, your miracle will manifest itself in this room. Tonight, you got some peoples who know the name of the Lord. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. I don't care what your plans are. Cancel them. And I'm not trying to fill the church. I can fill this church anytime I want to. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm telling you, KLC, this is the month of much, the month of miracles. You have to be in the atmosphere. You get in this room tonight. Go home, take a nap if you got to. Whatever you got to do. Set your alarm clock, because a church nap will take you out. So you got to set your alarm clock so you can wake up. Make sure you get something to eat. Get back in this room. 6 o'clock. The power of the living God is going to be up in here tonight to touch your life. Did you get blessed this morning? Look at your neighbor and say, I anticipate, baby, the inevitable. Man, I feel like preaching the supernatural intervention of God. I expect miracle after miracle after miracle. Y'all better get me out of here. After miracle after miracle. Yeah. All right, y'all. Stop. Cut it out. Cut it out. Lift your hands. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May He surround you with His favor as with a shield. May His angels encamp themselves round about you. His blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.